Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber of Bethel Church in Tupper Springs, Ohio, where our mission is connecting people to God. I'm very excited to share the Word of God with you today because I believe God's Word is a powerful weapon designed by the Father to set the captives free. I trust the Holy Spirit will anoint this message and it will personally minister to you and set you free. God bless and enjoy this message.
Reset in our world, in our nation, in our world. Not sure if you are aware of some of the organizations and the governmental powers in our world who are calling for a financial reset. And I believe that without a doubt, we are headed toward a cashless society. How long that will take for us to get there, I don't know. But there is a call for a reset. There's a call for a reset, a government reset over the world. There's a call for a financial reset. There's even a call for a religious reset. And if you read Revelation, you realize that there are some things in that sound very familiar to the events that are going to take place toward the end of the world. However, I'm not sure that God is ready for all those things to happen right now. And my eschatology or end time beliefs cause me to believe that most of the things that are going to happen in prophetic Daniel, Ezekiel, Revelation, those things are all mostly going to take place in the Middle East and Europe. And that's where all the end time stuff is going to take place. So what is happening now in our world, I don't know. I can't tell you. I don't have a pulse on what is being promoted, really. I understand where they're wanting to go and some of the things that they're wanting to accomplish. And I don't know if you've heard the World Economic Forum, a guy by the name of Klaus Schwab. He's a real creepy guy, if you've ever seen him. But he is calling for a great reset. And he's not the only one. There's many organizations in our world that and governments that are calling for a great reset. And I don't know where that's going or what's going to happen, but I do know this. I'm feeling this, and I believe that what is happening in our world right now is that there's a great reset that's taking place in the church. And we need a reset. Down through the history of mankind, that God has always created reset. Started early on. God reset man, reset us from the garden into the world that we know. It was not a positive thing, but it was a reset. And God had to intervene. Noah's deluge, or Noah's flood, was a reset. Abraham was a reset. God was in control. Now, many of these things that happened down through the history of mankind, some of them seemed to be negative at the time, but God always had a plan. And I want you to understand, no matter what's happening now in our world, God has a plan. God is resetting things. Abraham was a reset. David was a reset. Many of the things that took place leading up to Israel's demise, and you know, the Jerusalem, the temple being built, and then the temple being destroyed by the Babylonians, those were all resets that took place. So I want to try to get you to come to the place this morning where you realize that a reset is not uncommon for God. God is always resetting. He's been resetting mankind from the beginning of time. The Messiah coming to the earth was a reset. The Messiah dying on the cross and being buried was a reset. But there was a greater reset to come. The resurrection of our Messiah, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That was a great reset. But God wasn't done there. He was also ready to do even more. Because about 50 days later, after the resurrection of the Lord, he poured out the Holy Spirit on man. That's something to be excited about. I'm going to ask you to turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. And we're going to just read what took place there that day. Huh? Nothing on the screen. Okay. All right. Well, we don't need it this morning anyhow. Ha! We caught the devil off guard. I don't even need it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. And Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, it says, "And the day of Pentecost had fully come. They were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat up on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, 'Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we are born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judah, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Pergia, Pamphylia, Egypt, the parts of Libya joining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongue the wonderful works of God.' So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'Whatever could this mean?' Others mocking, they said, 'They are full of new wine.'" Okay. To set the stage for these people to share with us this morning, what I want you to understand is that what we had just read was a reset for mankind. It was the birth of the church, but it was a reset and something that God has been doing all along, all through history. He has been resetting. And ever since the birth of the church, there has been a need for a reset in the church from time to time. Amen? We need reset. We get religious. We get we compromise. We get to the point where we're apathetic. And when we get to that place in the church, there needs to be a reset in our soul. There needs to be a reset in the body of Christ. There needs to be wonderful things take place. And as you can see, this reset really shook the world. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the people being baptized in the Spirit, speaking in tongues. Now, here's something that happens when there is a reset. Not everybody's ready to accept that reset. And no matter how wonderful the outpouring is, no matter how many healings, no matter how many miracles take place, no matter how much power of the Holy Spirit is released, there are still naysayers who say all those people are crazy. God, when He resets, I want you to understand this. We have this idea that we as a church are supposed to make people of the world comfortable when they come to church. You read your Bible. That was never the intent of the church. In fact, the intent was to make people a little bit uncomfortable so that they would recognize they needed a Savior. When we get to the point when we want to make the world comfortable, then we get comfortable with the world. Amen? And I love the world. I want people to receive Christ as a personal Savior. But we have to recognize when we reset, it's time for the church to repent and seek the face of God and begin to turn from our wicked ways so that we can share the good news of the gospel to other people so that they can see that they need a reset in their life as well. Well, this morning, I'm going to ask people to come forward. Tony, I'm going to ask you to come first. And the reason I'm asking Tony is because Tony's an electrician and he sees things from an electrical perspective, and he has some things he wants to share with us about resetting in from electrical standpoint.
So we was talking about the reset and how, like in your home and when you're using a blow dryer would be a good example. I think most of you have dealt with this, of tripping a breaker, so you lose your power. Well, I know a little bit about power since I am an electrician. So the one thing you have to do when that happens is you actually have to make an action and reset the breaker. But then I got a vision of, after I thought about this more, like everybody has a breaker box in their house. And if you think about your breaker box, you have a main breaker and you have several individual breakers. Well, you always have power coming in on the top of your breaker. So your main breaker can trip and all your other breakers can trip. So to get the most power out of this, all the breakers have to be on. So that's what we want to try to get, strive for.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. All you breakers out there, we want to make sure you're on, you're not tripped. We want to keep that power flowing through. Hallelujah. You know, as we were talking about the, you know, the main breaker, of course, our main breaker is the Lord Jesus Christ. But also, we can look at it from a leadership perspective in the church. You know, if that main breaker is kicked and the leadership is having issues and problems and not receiving the power from the Holy Spirit, that creates problems for the whole church. And that's the enemy is going to try his best to divide and conquer the leadership of the Church of Jesus Christ. And here at Bethel, he tries to do that same thing. And we're not going to allow that. We're going to stand on the Word of God. We're going to remain in unity, and we're going to continue to worship the living God and not allow the enemy to trip our breaker. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anna, you want to share?
For some time, I've been feeling like I'm supposed to be doing more outreach, more out in the community. And last Sunday night, when Ryan Johnson was here, I kept hearing this phrase, lean into the unknown. And when I close my eyes and try and process what that meant, the only image I could get was that scene from Titanic where Rose and, I can never remember DiCaprio's character. What is it? Jack. Okay, and they're up on that edge and they're just leaning out and they're smiling and they're excited because something new is about to happen. They're on an adventure and there is a fresh wind blowing. And it's just everything that phrase brings to me, lean into the unknown. We don't know what's coming, but we need to be prepared. But more importantly, we need to be excited and really lean into that. And this weekend, I just got more confirmation. You know, I've been here just less than 3 years, and I've been involved in all kinds of different things trying to find where I fit. And I feel like after this weekend, God is telling me, okay, I don't want you scattered. I want you focused. Because just like with the electrical box, everybody writes on their door, this switch or this breaker goes to the washer and dryer. Well, the washer and dryer can't function if you're flipping the switch for the refrigerator, if that breaks. Or am I saying that right? Okay. So for me, this weekend was God telling me, pay attention to your breakers. because I've got you going in a direction, but you need to be fully committed.
Oh, hallelujah. Thank you. Praise God. Billy?
It was really, really interesting, and it kind of reset a mind frame of mine. The last two pastors that spoke, they spoke about almost in a military way of being able to combat what the enemy has out there. You know, once we come in here, the enemy's not going to step through that door because there's too many soldiers in here. There's too many people in here that knows the word. And being able to come in here and fight everybody, he's outnumbered. So when we go outside these doors, once we come in here and we get armored up, you know, we get the sword of the sword, the helmet of salvation, we get all that armor, and we step outside and we're going out there and we're trying to fight the good fight for the Lord. You know, sometimes we get beat up, we get weary, we lose track of mind. The enemy uses different tactics to be able to fight against us. And once we get tired, we're just like, man, I don't know what to do, Lord. So we just kind of give up. This is like our command center. You know, this right here, this is like our guard. We come back here, we get reset. We get more information. We get new stuff that, you know, to learn what the enemy is doing. And then we can go out there and we can fight that enemy with new stuff, new information, new ways of doing it. So this was a great opportunity, and I really enjoyed it. And if y'all ever get a chance to go and get reset, I encourage it.
Thank you, Billy. Mm-hmm. Tony?
I wasn't really sure what I was going to say when... I was talking to Rob earlier, and, you know, for Todd and I, when we went down there, we've kind of been feeling this for a while. We know God is doing something new. We know there's a reset, there's a change. And God kind of reminded me of this scripture, and so this is talking about when the disciples asked him why he spoke in parables. It says, "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed.'" Kind of sounds like what we see. So we talked a lot about, like, how to prepare for what's coming. But what really kind of got me with the scripture is the last part, because he says, "Blessed are your eyes, for you see, and your ears, for you hear. For assuredly I say to you, many prophets and righteous men have desired to see what you see, and they didn't see it. To hear what you hear, and they didn't hear it." And I think sometimes when you look all through church history, we're living in the most amazing time of church history. It's here. It's now.
Amen.
And we have a people that's coming, and we have to be prepared. And we learned a lot about that this weekend. And it reminded me of something that my former pastor had said before he went home to be with the Lord. And he said, you know, and the reason I say that is because I believe God has heard our prayers. We've all cried out. He's heard the cries of his people to do something in this nation. And God has heard, and his hand has turned. And we can either stand on the sidelines and watch it go by, or we can jump in and be a part of the move of God, and we need to prepare for it. And that's what I think I got the most out of this weekend, is get prepared, because God is still doing something.
Amen. Was that Dave? Was that Dave? Yeah. Pastor Dave Daly, many of us know who she was talking about there. Todd?
I didn't think we were supposed to wear an outfit today.
You're dressed.
So, you good?
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't really going to get up here and say anything until he asked me. He said, "What do you want to do?" Well, I'm like, "Well, what do you want me to do, Pastor?" It's like, "I want you to be." No, I think we need to do what you ask us to do. So that's what we're here for. We're here to follow the guidance of our pastor. But so, not knowing what I was going to talk about until I got over there, I guess, reminded me of the VBS, the Army of the Lord. You know, I'm a soldier in the Army of the Lord. We sang that song there, VBS, and then we sang it at the children's camp this summer. So it reminded me of that, the Army of the Lord, because we talked about, and John O'Brien talked about being an army, right? Mm-hmm. That's what we're supposed to be. We are the Army of the Lord. And we're not supposed to be working and doing things in here. We're supposed to be going out in the world. And that's my heart. I want to see people saved. We have to see people saved. We have to see people where they are at and be relevant to them. That's what I heard. Be relevant to people where they're at, and then they will want to be plugged in here. Well, myself, I remember Susie at one point was talking about seeking your own, no, it wasn't that. It was search my heart and tell me. I think you were talking about the psalm where it says, search me, Lord, and know me, right? So I think that's where I'm at in my life. It's like, I want to be every single day reset, if we want to get back to that. My reset is about me every day. We have a large reset. I'm one of those breakers. I need to be reset. Seems like I just need to go, eh. Whether or not it tripped, I want to make sure that it's right. So I think that's where I'm at right now. I want to start with me, because he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Amen. Yes.
So I want to start with me, and if I start with me and I know I'm good, then no matter who I'm reaching out to and touching, they'll be able to get the true me that God intended me to be. So I don't want to speak from my own brain. I want to speak from God's heart when I do this. So my reset, that's what I heard this weekend, was reset and the Army of the Lord. We need to start getting out there in the communities. So
amen.
I think that's great.
Thank you. Amen. And what Todd was touching on there is that we are in the process of trying to be more community-oriented, reaching out into our community. And I want to make sure that I clarify something. I said the church makes people uncomfortable. Our intention is never to make someone uncomfortable. But when the Holy Spirit deals with your heart and you realize that you're a sinner and you need to be saved by the grace of God, that is an uncomfortable position. That's conviction, and that's what drives people to the Lord. So it's not our responsibility to make people uncomfortable. It's our responsibility to share the truth with people. The Holy Spirit does the rest. Amen? Okay. Clarify that. Christy. Susie, you realize you're last, right?
I got this figured out. He ordered us by the people that he thought were going to talk the least first. First of all, I love you, Suze. I like how everybody up here had something different to say about the conference, because it just shows you that God's word is for each person individually. And it just showed me, like, what everybody got out of it is all totally different things, even though we all attended the same conference. There were 17 of us there. Pretty sure we had the biggest church representation there. So that was amazing. And who knew my husband had such influence just talking about electric, right? Everybody jumped on board with that. But the conference was called Resurgence of the Church. And I got to thinking about what that meant. And I had to look up the word resurgence, because we all know I don't like those big words. But it meant that it's an increase or revival after a period of little activity, popularity, or occurrence. So 2020, it felt like 5 years. It was a year of shutdowns and distancing and mandates and just not connecting. The church wasn't connecting with the body. The people weren't connecting with each other. And I think that's a lot of what we learned this weekend, is how we can get back to that. And it does take a reset. We all have to kind of get back in the swing of things. And I can't pick out what in my notes was most relevant to me. Pastor noticed I took a lot of notes. And so that was just one of the things that just really stuck out there. Like, this is important now. People are dying. People are going to hell. It's our job. We were commissioned to get out there and reach those people. And so that reset and that resurgence is what is the most important thing. I think that's what I got out of it. The urgency is now. And we need to realize that those instructions for those 12 disciples were not just for them. It's for us as well. And I just felt like we were just a really good team. We were there. We had time to meet as a team at the hotel and talk together about what we wanted to see in our church and how we could accomplish those things. So I think that was really important. And if you ever get a chance to go to one of those conferences, do it, because it'll fill your spirit, and then you will you'll just get that same feeling that we all did, and we all were able to connect and get behind our pastor and know where he's coming from and where we're coming from. So if you get a chance to go, I suggest you do it, because it was really amazing to me.
Yes, Mom, my scooter's in the corner, and all the leaders made me use it all weekend. Thank you. These are the people I came to this state to lock arms with. Thank you. No. in the Lord, yes. No. I went to this conference this weekend, and I just want to give God glory, first of all, because they took a half hour off my dialysis times this week. And that doesn't always happen. And my mortality has been in my face a lot in the last couple years. And so I think Pastor, he knows me well, but I've had this urgency inside of me lately. And so I was so thankful to go to this conference and prepare. Today is my baby brother's birthday. And I know I'll deal for this later, but you know, he came into our family at a time when our family was tired, and our family was struggling, and our family had pain, but our family was still good people. And I call him the therapy baby sometimes. And I remember seeing, it was the first baby, I didn't physically see him be born, but I saw the process of him being born and coming to our family. And I thought that was the most awesome thing. He spent a lot of time on my hip. But it's more awesome to see him born again. Mm-hmm. Amen. And to see him serve the Lord. I was here when this Bethel was born. I came to know Jesus even closer when I got on a scissor lift and painted these panels up high in the ceiling, or spent hours and hours with figuring out who was going to go get a shower first, because we all needed it so much in this building, and had great pain in my heart when I left this building and these people. But I truly believe that this particular body is getting ready to be born again, mm-hmm. in a new way. I believe there is a dying population around us. Their marriages are dying.
Yes.
Men, masculinity is dying. Leaders. Some of our kids are questioning not how they were born, but what gender they want to be now. And I also believe that there's a crowd in heaven. Moses, Elijah, David, that are cheering us on. That scripture that Rob read this morning about Pentecost, the book of Acts. Our connection group's reading the book of Acts right now. And you know what the most exciting thing about that book is? It's still being written.
Amen. That's right.
It's us. There's no finish to that book because we're still living it. We're still living it. And we have a chance now. We have a chance as the church is being reborn, as it's being ignited, as it's being... I can take gasoline and I can put it in my tank, but if I don't ever turn my car on and go somewhere, that gas is in vain. And eventually it'll get old and it won't even run that car. And I believe God is going to do something in us. If we're willing, there's the ticket. If we're willing to get in one accord and we can set this community on fire.
Amen.
People can come to know the Lord. Yes. Their lives can be set free. I had to get just a little bit closer to Joy this morning. I moved up. Did y'all notice? I moved up a few rows this morning. Her family inspires me right now. They inspire me. Because there's a lot of other families out there right now that are suffering and dying. And we've got to work, church. We have a work to do. I'm ready to sweat again. I don't even sweat anymore. I'm ready for this body to start sweating again. I'm ready to do that for the kingdom. And that's what we learned about this weekend. The first night, poor Anna said she wanted to get to know me more. Wow. Bless Jesus, she survived it. But when the first night at 3:30 in the morning, the Lord woke me up, and 8 pages front and back later, he was telling me stuff so quick I couldn't even write it down. And he was talking to me a few months ago. He told me, or a few weeks back, he told me to start praying for new wine. And he took me to that. You can't put new wine in old skins, in old wineskins. And I'm excited. I'm excited that there is a movement coming. I'm excited that God in heaven, he doesn't need us, but he loves us and he wants to use us. We get the privilege of serving God and bringing his children that he loves so much back to him. When we were fighting for Sandra, I mean fighting, I've never had a battle in my life like that. I said for Chloe, I had a C-section. For Sandra, I was in labor for 5 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But one night I was begging God, begging him on the floor, praying, and God said to me, he dropped it so heavy in my spirit, and he said, now you know how I fight to bring my children home, to the point of my son dying so brutally on a cross. And that put a new perspective in my heart about souls and who's lost and who needs to come into the kingdom. I'm excited. Pastor, I'm weepy, but I'm excited. There is a move of God coming, and I'm going to say this. This is the man to get behind for the move. Pastor was very real with us and got put on the spot in a very awkward way this weekend. And he said with us that he was tired. So let's plug in and help him too. Okay, let's stand together with our leaders, and he's going to bring us the word this morning. I'm just up here getting leaky, but I'm telling you, God is moving. There are some new things that are coming. There are opportunities. Opportunities are finding us. Amen. Pastor and I are meeting tomorrow with the superintendent of the school, and God had already started stirring that around, and then took him and said, hey, call Pastor Rob. We need a church to partner with. Hello? Yeah. Hello? Yeah. If we're going to be the army in this community, there's some things that we have to infiltrate, and it's not these four walls.
That's right.
We have to infiltrate out there. We have to infiltrate our school systems. We have to infiltrate our community committees. We have to infiltrate our government offices and things. God has called people in here, in this body, to multiply. And that's what's going to happen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Just take it down. Thank you, darling. Woo.
Okay, I left a couple of things out that I want to make sure everybody sees what I'm seeing. So in your main breaker box, you have a main breaker. Here's our main breaker. All the individual breakers are all the ministries and all you people out there. So we all have to work together to get the most power and harvest this situation.
I got to try to focus. Here we go. That was good stuff. I appreciate everyone sharing. You know, Susie's been on a journey of her own. And God took her away from here. She got married. From our perspective, that was negative, but it was God. It was God, and it was a positive. And you know, she has a wonderful husband that loves her, and a man of God. And now they're here in this body, and we're excited about that. I'm excited. I can sit and listen to Susie share all day. She has such insight into what is going on and the Holy Spirit. And how the Spirit of God is moving in this place in particular. This is our body, so this is the one that we're concerned with. But I'm concerned with the church at large, the body of Christ in our community particularly. I'm concerned that we recognize overall our responsibility. We have many good churches, good people in this community that. Some of them are just looking for opportunities to do something for the Lord. So maybe we can be that spark. And we can be the ones that reset everything in this community so that the churches once again are able to rise up and say, hey, this is our place. This is our responsibility. This is what God is doing and what God wants to do. The church needs to be reset from time to time, and I don't want that to seem like a negative thing. Billy, would you get me some water, please? Have somebody bring me up some water. Thank you. Because you don't even know whether the breakers are working unless they get overloaded at times in your electrical panel. That's how you know they work. So when they kick and they need to be reset, then you know that they are doing their job. So what I want you to understand is that a reset in the church, a reset in this church, is not a negative thing. It's just God shaking us a little bit and telling us that, hey, you're still You're still doing your job. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. So when we talk about a reset, I'm talking about it from a very positive perspective. I believe that the Church of Jesus Christ, all through these last 2,000 years, have been reset many, many times. In fact, the Apostle Paul wrote to Ephesians, and he said this, 5:18, he said, "Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation or self-indulgence, but be filled with the Spirit." Now, the Greek word plero, it means to make full or to fill up. The connotation there is to continue being full. Not just a one-time filling. We like to talk about the day of Pentecost where the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit. And we like the experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit. But listen, it's not a one-time experience. It's an ongoing experience that needs to take place in our lives on a regular basis. The churches used to have what they referred to as revivals once a year. And the intention was to revive the body of Christ, get us fired back up. And that, you know, it's not a negative. We've kind of moved away from that. Here at Bethel, we still have special services, special meetings. The purpose, we just had one with Ryan Johnson. The purpose of that is to encourage the body, to get stirred up, to do the things that God has called us to do. But the only way that we can be filled with the Spirit and continue to be filled with the Spirit is if we chase after that Spirit. It's not just going to happen. We're not just going to be sitting around one day and all of a sudden the Spirit. We're filled once again with the Spirit. What I have seen in the body of Christ is that when we get filled and refilled and reset, it's because people are chasing after God. Because we decide we're going to have prayer times, and we are going to start a prayer time in October. We're going to start having prayer here at the church on Tuesday evenings. Now, I realize that the worship team has practice. I can't find any other day for us to do that. So I do know that, and we're not taking away from that. Anybody who wants to come and participate will do it in the worship cave. But we're just going to, anybody who wants to come for an hour, we're going to pray. We don't really have a great agenda for that, but we're going to come and pray. We're going to do that because I believe that's the necessary step to this great reset that we're talking about. So Paul is speaking to all the churches. He's speaking to the churches of his day, and he's speaking to the church of Jesus Christ today. Continue to be filled with the Spirit. Continue to reset your life with the fullness of the Spirit of God. For 2,000 years, Jesus Christ has been doing that in the church, and it's been necessary. Somewhere around 380 AD, the Roman Church, Roman Catholicism, became the official religion of the Roman Empire. And for the next 1,000 years, Catholics were the only people recognized. And Catholic means universal. So it was the universal church, and they were the only ones that were recognized as Christians. But I want you to understand something. Even though man seems to take control of the church from time to time, God always has his remnant. There was always those who were faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ that rejected the religious order of the day. The Anabaptists, the Hussites, the Moravians, the Waldarians, the Lollards, all these people, they're just names, but they were people. They were people groups that decided that they were going to serve Jesus Christ regardless of the cost. Many of them gave their life for Christ. What are we willing to do? We live in a country where life is comfortable, where we've been able to just worship God as we please. I don't know how long that's going to last. But I could tell you this, unless we come to the place where we're willing to sacrifice everything for Jesus Christ, the reset that we're looking for is not going to come. That's what we need in our hearts for each and every one of us. What are we willing to sacrifice? The church and the reset has come over the years, and it's been a surprise sometimes to church at large. But for those who were praying for it and seeking it, they were not surprised. We will not be surprised by the reset that God brings here to Bethel. One of the reformers that I was talking about, the Hussites, was John Huss. John Huss was burned at the stake. And he was burned at the stake for heresy. And basically he told the religious order of the day that he would rather stand on the word of God and lose his life than deny Christ. And that's what they wanted him to do. They wanted him to deny the basic beliefs and teachings of the Word of God. Huss' last words were this: "What I taught with my lips, I seal with my blood." Huss, and after Huss died, they also dug up John Wycliffe's bones and they ground them up and they burned them as well and they threw them into the Rhine River, thinking that they were wiping out this movement, this anti Catholicism movement. But what it actually did was it spread the movement all over the world. And the movement became stronger and more powerful. And there was a great reset. A man gave his life, and many others gave their life. But because they were willing to give their life, a great reset. They gave everything. What are we willing to give? Where are we? Where's our heart? Where's our desire? Martin Luther was a good example of that. He was a follower of Wycliffe and Huss. And Martin Luther said, "Pray like it all depends on God. Then, when you're done, go to work like it all depends on you." He understood the principle. But what happened after Martin Luther's Great Reformation typically happens? The church becomes a little complacent, and God's ready to bring another reset. And even though the church learned a great reset during the time of Martin Luther, that we're saved with faith alone, by grace alone, through Christ alone, people just became satisfied and religious once again. People became we just kind of relaxed. And I believe that's where we are in the Church of Jesus Christ today. We're a little bit relaxed in our faith, in our belief system. Some of the followers of Huss were praying, and there was great persecution that took place. And there was a man by the name of Count Zindendorf, and he was from Moravia. And Count Zindendorf had a large tract of property, and he invited all the Christians that were being persecuted to come and live on his property. And many of them did. And it was a great relief for the persecuted church at that time. But here's what happens sometimes when we're relieved of persecution. The church then got satisfied, and instead of becoming stronger and more powerful, they began to argue and have disagreements among themselves about minor doctrinal issues. And some of the faithful in the group began to pray, and they wanted to see these things stop. They wanted to see the power of the Holy Spirit. They wanted to see a reset. And as they were praying, God, because they were faithful, God sent the power of the Holy Spirit, a reset upon the Moravians. It lasted for 100 years. And the Moravians sent more missionaries into the world, into places where their lives were at risk. And many of them died. Many of them were martyred for Jesus Christ. They sent more missionaries than any other group during that 100 years. And they were able to reach the entire world for Jesus Christ at that time. It was a great sacrifice. There was a reset. That's what has to happen. We have to have this reset happen in our soul. It has to be stirred from the power of God that's poured out upon us. We need a reset here. We need a reset in our nation. We need to see the power of God move. That took place, but then eventually a reset was needed once again. And a young man by the name of John Wesley, how many have heard of John Wesley, the founder of the Methodists? Everybody around here was probably in a Methodist church at one time or another. But John Wesley went to a Moravian revival in England. And while he was there, something happened to him. He had a reset in his soul. He became a born-again believer in Jesus Christ because he realized when they were reading from the writings of Luther, he realized that his salvation was not dependent upon his works, but on the blood of Jesus Christ and believing on that. And John Wesley received Christ as personal Savior. John Wesley began a great reset after the Spirit of God moved upon him. He began to do what we know now as the Methodist Church. He planted churches. It came to the United States, and he planted churches all over America, the United States of America. It grew into one of the strongest movements during that time. Now, I want you to understand something about the Methodist Church at that time. It's not the Methodist Church that we know today. It was a Spirit-filled, powerful movement because there was a great reset that took place in people's hearts. God's still in that business. John Wesley became the father of a great reset, that Methodist organization. But it also planted the seeds for the Great Awakening, the first Great Awakening. And during that time in history, here in the United States, deism had taken over the mindset of most people. Universities were the part. Less than 3% of the population attended church at that time. There was anti-Christian societies that grew up. People were going into local churches and taking the Bibles out, taking them out in the streets and burning them. Anti-Christian sentiment was very, very high. Debauchery everywhere. Drunkenness was an issue. It was a problem. Prostitution everywhere. Every kind of debauchery that you can think of was an issue. And people hating each other. Murders were rampant. Things were out of control. Does this sound familiar? Things were out of control. But listen, God is still in the reset business. And because people were willing to move out and move into the power of God, things began to change. Churches began to fill up. It didn't matter what denomination it was. People didn't care about the denominations. They were just seeking God. They wanted to find a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And God began to change hearts. And he changed the destiny of this nation. Second Great Awakening needed the same kind of shaking. People needed to hear, needed to know the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Things began to happen. And toward the end of that Second Great Awakening, it culminated with a revival at Cane Ridge, Kentucky. Now, Cane Ridge was in what was considered the wilderness at that time. And the wilderness was a very, very harsh place. There was all kinds of ungodliness going on. And once again, people were not church. But there was a group of people that believed that God wanted to move in a mighty way. So they started gathering there, having communion. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God was poured out. It was not a denominational move. It was Methodists, it was Presbyterians, it was Baptists, and all these pastors would get up on stumps in the middle of this wilderness and begin to preach the Word of God, and powerful things began to happen. Things that would kind of make us a little uncomfortable today. People would scream and cry and moan. People would, in groups of hundreds, people would fall out under the Spirit of God. No one had to touch them. It was just the power of God moving. God was on the move. And there was a great reset that took place that once again made a huge difference in this nation. The holiness revivals came out of that. But it once again, it became religious ordinance, religious people following a religious mandate rather than a heartfelt desire to please God. The next great reset was the Pentecostal movement that took place at Azusa Street. And the power of the Holy Spirit was poured out once again. Here's what I want you to see in all these outpourings and manifestations. Things happen that make religious people uncomfortable. When the power of God is poured out, people get excited. People dance in the aisles. People shout. People raise their hands. And sometimes, yeah, the power of the Holy Spirit overcomes them and they fall out in the Spirit. Is that going to make us uncomfortable when we see unusual things happen? Or are we going to embrace it? Unusual people come in the doors. People that need the Lord Jesus Christ. People, you know, not just religious people. We're talking about people with lots of tattoos, people with earrings, people with lifestyles that you may not like. If this reset really takes, that's what's going to happen. We got to be prepared for it. We got to see what God has done. Out of that came the latter rain revivals. My time's up. Healing revivals, charismatic renewal, and the Jesus movement. All these were just new great resets that God was bringing to the body of Christ. And I believe that right now we are in a time where we need a great reset in the body of Christ. Yes, I believe that the Spirit of God is calling out to His people. And He's saying, rise up. The first step in this reset is prayer. We need to bathe our community in prayer. The second step to this reset is what Susie was talking about. We need to get outside of these four walls and begin to recognize that there's people out there that need to hear what we have. We need to love them no matter what. We need to share the truth of what Jesus Christ meant. Yes, you know, when I read the gospel, the only people that I would see Jesus being harsh with were those who were religious. Everyone else, he was compassionate and tender to. He loved them. So if you want us to be harsh, hang on to your religion. I guess I can be that way. But my desire is to walk in love and compassion and reach out. My desire is that this congregation will pull together. And please don't misunderstand me. I believe we're doing a great work. I believe we're working together. I believe there's good things going on here. But this is just a new phase, a new reset for Bethel. And we have to embrace this. If we don't embrace this, you know what's going to happen to us? We're going to be like all the other churches in our area, little country churches that end up with only 70, 80, 90-year-old people sitting in the pews. And your 80 or 90-year-old pastor will be up here leading you. Look, this has to be more than just about our comfort. It has to be about reaching a generation for Jesus Christ. Every generation. We need to actively reach out to the younger generation in our area and compel them to come and be a part. We want this church to go on for however long it is before Jesus Christ comes. If it's 10 years, we want it to go on. If it's 100 years, we want it to go on. We want it to be vital. We want it to be active. We want it to be a part of this community that reaches and touches people's lives. We want it to be something more than just a religious order. And please don't misunderstand me. I'm not condemning those little country churches. Those churches have been the backbone of Christianity in our area. But what happens is that we get very complacent and we get caught up in our idea of what religion and Christianity should be. So we come together and we go through the motions week after week after week. I, for one, I'm tired of the motions. What I want to see is what I believe God gave us a vision for here at Bethel. And that is to touch and reach our community. Amen. And in the process, fill this place up. Amen? I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. When we begin to realize that we have a good place for people to come and be refueled and be ready to go back out into the mission field, then we can get excited about inviting people. We can get excited about sharing the truth of the gospel with people. We can get excited about saying, hey, I got this great place. It's called Bethel. I want you to come to it. I want you to be a part of it. But until you catch that vision, it has to be a reset in your soul, in your heart. I can stand up here and rail about it all day long, spit and stammer and stutter and do all the things that preachers do. But I won't convince you. This is a work of the Holy Spirit. This is the outpouring that we need. Stand with me.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob again. I pray you enjoyed this podcast. What a blessing it has been to have you join us on this social media platform. If you would like more information about Bethel, please check out our website at bethelchurch.community. You can also follow us on our Facebook page at Bethel Church, Tepper's Plains. Have a blessed day, and remember, love never fails.